There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Tuesday. And I want to set this up, and I mentioned this yesterday, started it off, and then mentioned again at the end of Jeff's show, and what a time to mention it now. With the Colonel in my midst, it is this month that I ask you to contact me, and I know that the text line is super popular, but the problem is we all use the text line. And so if you send me a message on the text, comes in at night, I may not see it until the next time you text. So Sean, spelled the fast way, Sean, S-E-A-N, at fmtalk1065.com. Because I love it every year. I have folks I talk to every year for Veterans Month, and we do this all November. So not just Veterans Day in November, but we do interviews with local veterans. Been doing it for a decade, all November long. So I've got, you know, my list of people that have been on in the past, but each year I get introduced to new veterans that come on the show. And so if you're that veteran or they're a family member, a friend, and you like, somebody needs to hear, you know, from my friend or my brother or my father or, you know, my son, my daughter, my whatever, put them in touch with me, Sean, S-E-A-N, at fmtalk1065.com, and we'll get the interviews set up this month and then launch them next month in November. Now, what I said is I had a colonel in our midst, and he's been on before, and I'll have him come back on as we get into the month of November. He's also the president, and I would say the boss man at the Mobile Area Veterans Commission, Colonel Steve Carey, Air Force, joins us now. Thanks for coming in.
Well, thanks for having me on board.
It is a pleasure. I want to talk about this before we even get into what's coming up and getting people out for next month. Your service to our country in the Air Force, you're a pilot.
Sure was. A short 30 years.
Yeah, like overnight success after 30 years.
Right.
Flying you know, the fast planes. Yep. What'd you pilot?
I was a fighter pilot flying F-16s and F-15s.
Wow.
So it was a great life.
Did you grow up thinking, because that's like a lot of children's dream. Like in my generation, they watched Top Gun and we said, oh, wow, that's a thing you know, there are very few of us that made the cut to do that. But, I mean, what got you started?
Well, I came from a family that was pretty steeped in the military tradition. We served when my brother retired. He was also an Air Force fighter pilot colonel. And when he retired, we'd served as a family for 99 years.
Wow.
But I've got a grandfather who was in the Army, fought against Pancho Villa and General Pershing. Uncles that were in World War II. I've got uncles that fought in Korea and Vietnam. And then my little brother, Tim, and I, you know, we were kind of the modern day tail end of that service. But 99 years.
That's incredible.
Yeah, some great stories in there, too.
You know, and your story, after talking to so many years and so many veterans locally, your story shows up where it's a family, you know, father, grandfather
right.
served, sons and grandsons served, it goes through. And then I also find these very interesting stories, and a lot of it came with GWAT and all that, but people who their family hadn't served, and then they're like, I'm the first in my family, you know, my family's butchers, bakers, candlestick makers, whatever.
Sure.
And I decided, you know, next thing you know, they're serving, and some of them serving in, you know, special operations. I'm like,
well,
we went from accounting dad to, you know, serving in special operations. So
clearly, you know, 9/11 and that whole era, that inspired a lot of young women to mm-hmm. you know, take up arms and serve their nation and serve, you know, the call of duty. And those are some remarkable men and women. Just like the Greatest Generation, my dad, World War II, you know, there was that same level of fire and inspiration that hit a lot of those young men and women 20, 25 years ago.
You know, people can see this, and we'll talk about the parade and everything coming up next month. But I sit back and watch it because my family that served, my veteran family and my veteran friends, I will just step back when they're talking, because y'all talk a different language. And I've seen it before. You get somebody who is in their late 20s talking with somebody who served in the Korean conflict. And they could talk to each other in a language. I mean, they're separated by all these decades,
right,
but
right.
their service bonds them together in a language. It's just, I love to just sit back and listen to them talk.
Well, you know, I'd add a different twist to that. I mean, clearly veterans and folks love talking to each other. They love bonding and they have something in common. But one of our big causes with the Veterans Commission now is how do we relate to those that haven't served or mm-hmm. haven't been around families that serve? Because it's a whole different approach, and folks have their biases and they don't understand. And that's where the stories are critical. I tell all of our veterans, some of the old dogs and the newer ones, as I said, our role after we serve is to serve the community and tell stories. Because mm-hmm. those stories help people understand and relate. So whether you're speaking, you know, at a Boy Scout meeting, or you get to talk to a high school during a career day, those are the kind of things that they need to hear and see, because they aren't getting it like they used to.
No, yeah, agreed.
You know, I speak to a fair amount of schools in the area, both sides of the bay, and I ask how many have family members, and the hands that go up are fewer and fewer.
Yeah, it is. You could go back because. All volunteer military,
right.
smaller percentage. And as that greatest generation has passed, right. there's less that commonality that used to be in families, because so many served in World War II
right.
and or in the aftermath. Of course, you had, even if you didn't have a parent, you had an uncle or somebody who served.
Somebody along the way, right.
But we're a long way past that now.
And, you know, another kind of a sidebar issue that concerns me a lot, too, is as a nation, as we become more, we retract ourselves, we close foreign bases, we close locations around the world, those are our outposts of ambassadorship. That's mm-hmm. where they get to meet the real American men and women, the families. And, you know, when you're walking the streets of Italy or Germany or Iceland or wherever it happens to be in Asia, those are folks that are spreading the American way of life and helping people understand how we think and who we are. And we're getting smaller in that as you know, we tighten budgets. And we've got to be careful about closing down those locations around the world, because those citadels, they're mm-hmm. also beacons for a lot of those countries.
And I know that you mentioned Germany. Growing up here with our friends that serve at my age group and cohort, we learned a lot about Germany when they came home. Like, okay, I was stationed at so-and-so. And
right.
you know, you wouldn't believe this beer or this celebration or whatever. Like, that's how we got our news back here.
Sure.
You know, I think about this with getting young people involved. And I saw some of the recruitment numbers coming in, and this is, you know, and it came up for a conversation, of course, after last week's speech from Hegseth, the Sec mm-hmm. War, now I need to say, not Sec, DefSec, War
right,
Sec.
Secretary of War.
Yeah. That the numbers are coming up, that there is, recruitment has been better. You know,
well, you know, I think that stems from the right kind of message. And, you know, much like our organization with the Veterans Commission is, several years ago, we over the last 10, 15 years, we've tried to partner with some of our schools. We do a great job at the high school ROTC level. But at the university level, there was a gap. And really, over the last 5 years, that's changed. We now, part of our Veterans Day events, we recognize an Air Force and Army university level cadet of the year. And then we have a Patriot Dinner where they get a nice, huge award, and we surprise them with their mom and dad there. And those are the kind of things that really, you know, connect to the younger generation.
There's like, I think we've been doing this. I've had those cadets come in last maybe 2 years. And
right.
y'all, you look at these kids, young men and women, but kids to me, I'm old
sure.
enough now.
Yeah.
You're like, wow. If you ever want to get down on the young generation, like somebody, oh, it's all those kids. They can't, you meet some of these kids, you're like, awesome. Yeah. I feel good about our future with these young men and
women.
Well,
and I'm really proud of the fact that, you know, we do a lot of PR, we do a lot of radio and TV coming up to Veterans Day, but you've taken on those ROTC cadets university level, and many of them have not been stuck in front of a mic before.
Right.
And so they've got to think through what they're going to say, because they now realize they're the ambassador, they're, mm-hmm. they're representing, you know, their service to be. And I think it's great to put them in the hot seat a little bit, get them up here interviewing and hearing it from a 20-year-old, 19-year-old perspective.
And it's also, you talk about ambassadors, if you want to talk to other 18 and 19-year-olds,
Right.
Better be, you know, it's better somebody who's in their age group to talk to them.
True.
Than, you know, crusty old people, right?
Well, the crusty old dogs, I mean, we think a lot of ourselves sometimes, but the reality is, you know, the sun's setting, so it's time to pay attention to those that are running a little bit harder and carrying more of the weight.
What I love, though, and I unfortunately found this out through the trials and tribulations of some politics in Alabama over the last year. Our veterans community here, I guess I assumed, and Mom always told me the danger of assuming, but I assumed it was as robust elsewhere in our state as it is here. Found out it wasn't. But right. It's a special thing here,
right.
How connected. And so many veterans, folks like you, who continue to give back after your service. I mean, just step up and go, yeah, I'll help. I'll do whatever. I've been to meetings and I'm like, wow, y'all keep... You're like, what can I do next?
Right. You know, the thing is if I was going to take Alabama as a veteran state, I'd break it into three parts. You know, we have South Alabama. We've got some great veteran service organizations down here trying to kind of bond us and unite us.
Mm-hmm.
Middle of the state has Maxwell Air Force Base.
Which is huge.
Big Air Force Base, really connected with the city. So there's a strong entity there for military activity. And then obviously in the north in Huntsville with all the activities up there. But you know, we also have lots of rural areas where veterans are, and we're trying to bring them in and make them more aware. And honestly, once you're done serving, it's time to participate in your community. It's mm-hmm. not just time to hunt, fish, and watch football. It's time to do a little bit more. And so sometimes my role is a little bit of a kick the tire and move them from their couches to get out and tell stories.
Well, it's a great thing. And I want to talk about the events for this year. Of course, last year, which it was a proof to the way people turn out, because it was not Chamber of Commerce weather last year during the parade.
It definitely wasn't blue skies.
It was not. But everybody turned out,
right.
You know, and it was great to see. So doing it again this year, let's talk about this.
So we, our Veterans Commission, and that's the purpose. One of our purposes is to kind of prepare for Veterans Day. So we work all year long. We've spent a great effort here trying to pull businesses into the events that we have and get more business owner participation, and the employees that maybe haven't ever served, get them to participate. But we've got a full day of activities leading up to Veterans Day. We'll have a Patriot Dinner where we recognize some award winners, our Hal Pierce Memorial Award winners, and then Veterans Day is a full slate of events. Keeps us all busy. And honestly, one of the things that I really would like to see us do a better job, you know, we're great at Mardi Gras.
Mm-hmm.
We have incredible participation. But, you know, Veterans Day, it's a little bit quiet out there. And mm-hmm. I honestly, I'll fault myself some, but I'll fault parents, because parents are the ones that need to bring those younger kids out and mm-hmm. see what we're trying to do. I mean, our parade is the largest parade on the Gulf Coast. And we do an incredible job bringing in all the high school ROTC. We now have middle school, some 10 or 11 schools are there. We have bands. We have a lot of military hardware. We have the active forces with the U.S. Coast Guard, Strike Command, ATC, and Sector. And it's just not a little hometown parade. It's a big parade. Mm-hmm. And we have a flyby as long as Mother Nature cooperates.
Right.
But we need to line those streets with families and young kids. Boy Scouts, you know, they mm-hmm. precede us handing out flags. It should be a fun Mardi Gras event, although we don't throw anything.
Right.
I'd like to see us throw a little bit more of our spirit into the event and participate.
Well, I do nothing but recommend it to all of y'all. And I think what the Colonel said is true, too. If you build a family habit.
Right.
Right. That's because, I mean, people go, ooh, day off. You know, somebody, well, no, participate.
Right.
You know, and I think bringing the kids down there and you don't have to have the kids down, but if you have the kids, bring them down there, stand and see this. Once you do this once, you'll be like, oh, we do that every year.
Yeah. And it becomes a tradition, you know, like we 4th of July, we barbecue out, mm-hmm. we do family stuff. Well, Veterans Day, it isn't just a day off, go to the beach, play video games.
Right.
It's, you know, give us a couple hours. And honestly, that'll imprint, especially on the younger kids, because it falls to parents to do that.
100%.
Kids aren't going to be motivated to do it unless they're taught and inspired to do it.
Oh, we talk about this in general on this show, Colonel, all the time, that the things that you were forced to do, I mean, I like to say that I did things all for the right reason. I was a punk kid. The things that you were forced to do by mom and dad that then become, you're like, you wake up one day as a grown person in your 20s and go, I'm so happy that was built a charitable a patriotic thing that was built in me because you had to be dragged to things because I wanted to do whatever. Go,
well, we're kids. I mean,
go ramp my bicycle off something, you know. But then you do these things and it becomes, oh, it's this time of year we do this thing. And then you wake up one day and say, thank God.
Well, one of my family traditions is on Veterans Day, we would always go to a veteran cemetery wherever we were around the world. And I'd have my kids put a little flag on a tombstone, you know, of one of our veterans. And we'd say a prayer. We might talk about it if I knew the individual or we knew what war it was in. And my goal would be not that they're going to do that every year for the next 60 years of their life, but that's imprinted and that they'll
know how to
pause and they'll maybe do it on their own. And that at some point when they have a family, they'll say, hey, Johnny, Susie, come on, we're going to our local veteran cemetery. And just those moments, it doesn't take a lot of time, but it's a huge imprint and it teaches a level of respect that sometimes there's a little deficit of respect out there, and we need that. We need to instill that in our young ones.
I'm glad you're continuing that and handing that legacy on, like sure. So many. So once again, for people who want more information about coming up, making sure they're there for this year's, and you know, we got the parade, then afterwards, you know, y'all have got the luncheon at Fort Whiting. I mean, there's a lot that goes on with this, but the parade is the thing. Y'all come on.
Right. And there are some other events too, just besides the parade. You know, we have a flag raising. That's an O'Dark 30 get up 7 o'clock in the morning, but a pretty moving event. You know, if you're down there at the battleship and you see the sun come up with the flag raising, we have the parade and it is fun. Trust me, you'll have a blast. It's lots of music, lots of marching bands. There's young dance troops out there. And, you know, senior citizens, it's really a fun event. That starts at 10. The luncheon is over at Fort Whiting. But another incredible event, probably my favorite event of the day, is the Parade of Flags over at the battleship. And that occurs at 4 o'clock. And what we've done is we've worked with both education counties, Baldwin and Mobile County school education systems, and we have the fourth graders write essays about what Veterans Day means to them.
Okay.
And we judge them, we pick top winners, and then they'll come, all those students that wrote, they'll come, and two of them, one on each side of the bay, will be recognized as the winner, and they will read that letter that they wrote. And, you know, mom and dad, you can tell who's been helping on spell check a little bit, but they're still incredible articles and letters that are written by these young kids. And they get to read that in front of probably the first time they've ever been on stage in front of a crowd of about 1,000 people. And it's just a real moving ceremony.
Sounds like something to give you eye sweats.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Some of those. Fantastic. And website too, for people to go to more information, where should they go?
Veterans Commission. And that should get them to whatever they need to see in terms of schedules, whatever they need to do. If they do want to buy tickets to the luncheon, parade's free. Come on out, get out there. You know, we've got the military folks walking all through downtown Mobile.
I'll give you a chance here before we wrap up, because we do have Air Force is represented. Dalton's brother is Air Force pilot. So,
right.
But I have a preponderance of Marines around here. My people, Arby side, do you as an Air Force veteran want to talk any trash? Because they talk a lot of trash. The Navy guys talk a lot of trash. Anything you want to say before we wrap up here?
Well, this will probably be a little bit of a theme this year, but last summer they had a MRE cooking contest.
Okay.
And, you know, as an Air Force guy, you know, we do get bad-mouthed a lot for kind of sleeping in comfortable beds, playing golf, and, you know, drinking beer on occasion. But we don't eat a whole lot of MREs like the Marines and the Army, the real on-the-ground warriors. But at this MRE contest, area-wide, lots of teams there. Guess who won that contest?
It wasn't Marines?
It was a Navy pilot, a friend of mine, and Steve Carey, that showed these Army, Navy, and Marines how to cook MREs. That's probably one of the proudest moments of my life.
Y'all hear that? And he said nothing about y'all eating crayons, but he did say he beat you in the MRE cooking contest. Colonel, thank you for coming in.
Oh, it was a great day. Thanks. Look forward to coming back.
Yeah, but absolutely have him back very, very soon. And we'll keep talking about our local veterans the whole way on through the month of November.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right there, 128 FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here. And yes, keep those emails coming. Interviews, new folks, new voices, and some of the classics all next month for Veterans Month here. Oh, what a great text here. A named texter says, son, St. Paul's and Auburn Go Saints, an Auburn graduate in Okinawa, Lieutenant Commander, Navy Aerospace Physiologist, first ever in the family to serve, lives on the Air Force Base in Okinawa. You know, that's the cool thing, too. Like Colonel Carey's family and so many I know, they've served for generations. And then with GWAT and all that, I've seen so many people that said, well, maybe I had some distant relative that served, but they're the first in their, you know, immediate family to serve. It's something. B-Dark says, I was a Navy brat from 69 to 71 at Gitmo Bay, Cuba, and I made it. There you go. Well, the Gitmo thing is interesting. I was talking to, I got to think through if I can have that conversation. Had some Gitmo conversations here within, not recently, the last 6 months, that were people that served there that were of interest. And we did an interview way back, and I wonder if it's in the archives. I'd have to figure out myself how to find it in the podcast archives. A guy that, and we know, you know, most of us generally know the history of Gitmo, but a guy wrote a book on it, and he was on the show. It might have been 5 years ago. I have to go dig it up. If I do, I'll put it up. The full history of Guantanamo. And, I mean, the fact that we have a base on the island of Cuba is something. Is something, for sure. All right, coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right now, 135 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. 343-0106 gets you in touch on the phone call or the text line. This segment of the show brought to you by, speaking of veterans, a friend of mine and Navy veteran Jeff Stone at Stone Arms, which, by the way, I've told you, like, and we'll come back to it, talk about getting your the fastest track to be able to, you know, get a silencer, suppressor, talk about it in a second, but just a good old-fashioned gun store, right, and not just the guns, but the gunsmithing and the ammunition and all the parts. I mean, it's just, they're fantastic. And they, to have a place that you can call and say, hey, can you get me a so-and-so? Yeah, or I have it, or come on down, or we can get that. Or, hey, I want to get this gunsmithing thing done, and I need to get it, like everything, right? I need to get it done in a week's time. Okay, bring it in. We'll get it done. It's just awesome. Awesome. So just great people, Shane, the whole gang down there. I do love them. And they are, if you're going to go see them, in person, it's Airport just west of Snow, about a quarter mile west of Snow on Airport on the south side there. Online at stonearmsinc.com. And there, if you'll click the link that says how to buy a silencer, it kind of walks you through what I've been talking about. So you go in, and if you've thought about this for years like I did, and like, yeah, I want to get that done, but it's, you know, it's going to take too long. You know, it doesn't take too long. They've got a kiosk in there, one of them computer things. And you go in, go inside, and it's right there on the like the front wall. At Stone Arms. And it took me 20 minutes. So, you know, 6-8 months ago when I had messed with this idea and doing it and all this stuff and just not had gotten it done. Jeff says, come in here. And in 20 minutes, I went through what had taken me 2 years not to get done. I got done in 20 minutes. And it's pretty cool because you get on the kiosk and you put your information in, like your name and all that stuff, and then go to next kind of thing, right? That makes sense to me. The next page, you fill this in. And it makes sure that, because, you know, on federal forms, if you've done this before, if you don't check a block perfectly or do something, it kicks the whole thing out. Well, if you send it through the mail, you don't know till you don't hear back that it didn't do it right. With this automation he has, it makes sure you put in everything correctly. Then you do your fingerprints on there, your passport photo, all that, and it puts it all together. What's it, the fancy thing? It collates it, puts it all together, and sends it to the feds so you can get your green light to get a suppressor. So it took me about 20 minutes to go through that thing, and it only took me 2 weeks to get the green light back from the feds. And then, lucky for all of us, a great selection of suppressors and rifles and all the gear to go with it there at Stone Arms. And I have said this here recently, too, with hunting season coming up. Of course, rifle season next month, bow season not far off. But not just, people will picture putting a can on like a modern sporting rifle, which is fun. But just day in and day out, your deer rifle. Think about the damage you do to your ears when you shoot without putting hearing protection on. I know you've got your hearing protection on. Do you grab it and put it on when you have a quick shot at a buck? Of course you don't. You just shoot. That's why the headphones in the studio are turned up so loud, because of the damage I did. Don't do that. They can do the gunsmithing tapping for your deer rifle, put the suppressor on there, and you're shooting that way and protect. You don't have to have any hearing protection in when you shoot. It's really a great thing. So see them online, stonearmsinc.com. But go see Jeff and Shane and everybody at the store there on Airport, just west of Snow. Stone Arms, go see them today. All right, let me go to the text line here. Let's see. This is awesome. So the mailman, one of our regular texters, the mailman, served 10 years in the Marine Corps, 18 years in the Army National Guard, had three other siblings who served in the military, and a brother that served for 20 years in the Navy, and two sisters who served in the Army. Holy cow, mailman. That is a service family. So yeah, let me go back through this. So mailman, our texter, served 10 years in Marine Corps, 18 years Army National Guard. Three other siblings served in the military. A brother served for 20 years in the Navy, and two sisters who served in the Army. That is incredible. Because usually it would be like, even in these families like that I know, mailman, where the family has served and served, it'll be not every sibling, right? It'll be grandfather served, the father served, one of the siblings served. It goes, that's incredible. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your family, not just you, but your whole family service to our country. B-Dark, talking about being at Gitmo, said we used to sit at the swimming pool and catch iguanas with hot dogs at a fishing pole and pick mangoes. It's kind of idyllic, isn't it? That's pretty awesome. Let's see. Unnamed texter. Hey, Sean, do you think there's a possibility of the money being paused from those blue states can be here to the Mobile area to build the new I-10 bridge? I don't know. I don't. I don't know that. Because here's the thing. So the purse strings, of course, are held by the House, right? Even though everything seems to come through the executive branch on both sides anymore, because so much has been defaulted on by the legislative branch, we hear more from the executive branch, but funding has to come through specifically the House, but the Senate's got to sign off on bills. There's not enough margin there, I think, that you would take that to do the bridge. I don't think so. They have, there's been federal money in the mix, but this is going to be this bridge thing. Y'all, this bridge thing. And I mean, the easy thing for me to do is just be, and I'm often accurate when I do it, just play cynical. There's, I could just say nothing ever works and everything's horrible. And all, I mean, that's kind of a default for people. But I haven't been shown, even though things are starting to boot, I hadn't been shown how we're going to pay for the whole thing. There's just right now, there's not enough. I mean, remember this started off at being like a $800 million project, right? And when it first started off, way back when, I was a young man when this was discussed. I was a whippersnapper. And they talked about it being 80-20 back then in funding. In other words, 80% federal and 20% an amalgamation of state, municipal, county, other things to pay for it. Well, as this thing grew, the 80-20 swapped, first of all, and it went to 20% federal, 80 in the amalgamation, and the cost went up. I think the latest one, John Sharp and I were talking about it a couple weeks ago, 3 weeks ago maybe. We're at $3.8 billion now on this project. And yes, we've had, infra-grant money, and we've had, different federal money, but we're still waiting. And ALDOT committed to $250 million, which they said is like squeezed everything they can out of the ALDOT budget to give. It's still not enough. So it'd be nice if there's the magical money fairy showed up to do this, but I don't see that. I don't see that getting through the legislature. Let's see. This is Bob says, Sean, love the bumper music, something new. Yeah, well, cool. Yeah, oh yeah. I'm always new stuff going in the mix here. Speaking of music, we'll get to that in just 1 second. And then B-Dark says, I failed first grade in Cuba because I couldn't speak Spanish in 1970. There you go. Didn't you go to school on base? You wouldn't have to be. Right? You wouldn't have to be speaking Spanish on base, would you? What a time to learn Spanish, though. I mean, the reason I speak it today is because I learned it same time I was learning English, and that's why it was easy. I've lost so much of it over the decades, but I mean, I spoke it. You know, when you're little mush brain kid, just give me a language, I'll learn it. It's real easy. All right, the music thing got me started. Good transition, good segue to the Zach Bryan story. So here's the entertainment portion of the show. So this is getting some chatter out there now on social media. And then whatever happens on social media, then the cable news picks it up. So you'll probably see it tonight. So country star Zach Bryan, who I like Zach Bryan, a lot of Zach Bryan stuff. I think he has been his own worst enemy. He almost has that kind of shooting star where they're going to, get so popular that they fade out here. I don't know. I did like the, what was the last big news story? He was going to go fight Gavin Adcock or something like that. He's going to climb over this big chain link fence with barbed wire on the top to go whip a boy. I thought that was interesting. But so he's released a clip from a unreleased song. I guess it's new album coming out. And part of me, because all my years in music radio before doing this, I don't know how much of this is, I mean, it's all true, but how much of the release of this is about getting attention for a new album. But Zach Bryan's condemnation, this is from Fox News. So, there's all kind of tilts on this, but this is Fox News' tilt. Said country star Zach Bryan's condemnation of ICE raids is the latest entry in his long list of controversies. Bryan recently took to Instagram and shared a short clip of an unreleased song titled Bad News. The post, which is being captioned The Fading of the Red, White, and Blue, includes lyrics referencing ICE is going to, quote, come bust down your door, end quote. So, and then it goes on, how much of this can I read? Said, more lyrics here. My friends are all degenerates, but they're all I've got. The generational story of dropping the plot. I heard the cops came, and then expletives, ain't they? And then, and ICE is going to come bust down your door. Try to build a house. No one builds no more. But I got a telephone. The kids are all scared and all alone. And then the bar started, stopped bumping. The rock stopped rolling. The middle finger's rising, and it won't stop showing. Got some bad news, the fading of the red, white, and blue. All right, so that's some of the lyrics from this new song he puts out on Instagram. It's got all the talk going on. We'll see what happens with this. But and there's some people on Twitter, many people on Twitter saying, oh, he Bud Lighted himself or whatever. What was interesting to me, though, is earlier this morning, one of the monitors had Fox News on here, and Fox News commentate, one of those shows where they gather up a bunch of people and they sit down, they all try to make a hot take. And they said, well, it's unprecedented. Country music never speaks ill of law enforcement. This was a quote. I could go back. I got to go back and see if I can get a recording of that. Country music never is anti-law enforcement. Now, I will say country music as a genre is generally patriotic. But, I mean, what kind of country as well? Is it the mainstream? I mean, the country they're putting out now, I'm sorry, but on the main radio play is just some combination of a pickup truck, dirt road, painted on jeans, drinking a beer. There's a whole other genre or two of country music out there with people saying real things on there. But this idea that there's nothing, for them to say, and that's why I went off on this, that's unprecedented to have country music songs that disagree with law enforcement. And I mean, just go look at the whole world of outlaw country, right? I mean, Waylon Jennings, anyone? Or let's go a little more mainstream. And then I'll get your text on this at 343-0106. When I heard the talking heads on Fox News, I'm like, ain't none of y'all ever heard anything from Waylon in the past? But maybe they haven't because they're all like 24 years old on there. So we'll go to the news with this and come right back. Is this, would Waylon have written an anti-ICE song? Or was this his version of it back then? Coming right back. More of Midday Mobile.
Someday the mountain might get them, but the law never will. Making their way, the only way they know how. That's just a little bit more than the law will allow.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
We'll get to the text line here in just a second. This segment of the show, Midday Mobile, brought to you by my buddy Clint Jameson at Adventure Earth Bicycles. By the way, I mentioned it too. You can check out the website, adventure-earth.com, and right on the front, it's an e-bike guide. So you can see like what e-bike might be right for you. Now, the fun part too is just doing that in person. You know, Clint, you didn't have an online e-bike guide when I got mine from you. I just had to talk to you. Which is fun because he's a buddy of mine. We've known each other for a couple decades. And by the way, he's been bicycle guy since the day I met him. So it's great that he has his own locally owned bike shop right here in Mobile, Adventure Earth Bicycles, at the corner of Little Flower and Airport in Midtown. But if you have some questions about e-bikes, you can go on there, go through the little, like, what do you want to do with the bike? All those kind of questions. And it kind of helps filter down different bikes. I think 75 available at any given time. In stock at Adventure Earth Bicycle, so you can go do it with him in person. And if you're looking for what got me into the e-bikes was using them to hunt, right? To use them outside. And I've now found a lot of other uses, just riding for fun, exercise. Also, going with the camper somewhere, they're great to have there. A buddy of mine and I have used them as a strategy for canoe trips, to be able to drop off one vehicle and then go use the bike to go canoe people, y'all know what I'm talking about. They're great for that too. But in time for hunting season, because, well, Clint knows this, he's got the off-road e-bikes in stock as well. Brand new ones here. The we call the fat tire e-bikes for hunting season. From Mach Wheel, he's got the Obsidian 2.0 with a 750-watt motor. It's fat tire hunting e-bike, full suspension, comes in camo. Also from Denago, another big manufacturer, their fat tire hunting e-bike, their e-hunt, they call it, in OD green and black for hunting season. Plus, even if you already have an e-bike or you're getting one set up, or even if it's what he calls an Amish bike, you know, pedal-powered bike, he's got all kind of accessories go on there that hold your shotgun, your bow, your rifle, pistol holders, all mount to the bike frame. They're all in stock at Adventure Earth Bicycles. Like I said, online, adventure-earth.com, but see them in person at the corner of Little Flower and Airport in Midtown. Adventure Earth Bicycles, everything inside to get you outside. All right, let's see, to the discussion of country music. And yeah, so first one up is, let's see. So my buddy Ben said, Toby Keith would whoop his butt physically and lyrically. May he rest in peace. You know, and here's the thing. You and I, like, we differ. If it's a jump ball and I can listen to it, this is going to, I know, people be, ah, that's Sullivan. I knew he was a communist. If I could listen to top three Toby Keith songs, top three Zach Bryan songs, I'd probably listen to Zach Bryan. Not that I wouldn't listen to Toby Keith, but doesn't have meta said country music could never be on the side of the law enforcement. Sincerely, 1970s outlaw country. Correct. How about them outlaw women? Doesn't have meta. Let's see. Butterknife says, Sean, the Republicans out West Oklahoma, Colorado, Wyoming, and the Dakotas do not like ICE. Republicans in Wyoming would never invite the federal government to come onto their property and take care of the weeds like you did. Oh, he's talking about when I used the state grant money. Hey, Butterknife, you can't let that go, do you? Does that bother you, man? That I put, you know what? It coming from a farm family, we put in for NRCS contracts and all that. Man, I know. It's obviously eats you up. Let's see. This is, which one? This one's, Sean, we've not raised the federal gas tax since 1992. It's a fixed amount, not a percentage. Yeah. Uh-huh. I know the state did, but did I mention something on gas prices? Maybe. Oh, you know what, Steve? I bet you're reacting to the texture about the money for the bridge. I'm guessing. That's what I'm guessing here. Let's see. Yeah, Hank, yes. Hank Sr., not just Hank Jr. I mean, you're talking about outlaw stuff. Derek says, that's gosh darn Shakespeare right there, I guess, as I read the lyrics from Zach. IT Jesus said, they ever heard of Hank the Third? Laugh out loud. Yeah, there you go. And then also IT Jesus says, meanwhile, other states want a new toll bridge on their part of I-10. B-Dark, my number one song is I Think My Dog's a Democrat, but I have 17 Waylon albums and I need more. CB Carlson, and oh yeah, have these people ever heard of Dave and Allen Coe? Like I said, you could disagree and not like the lyrics of the Zach song, but for the talk, you know, whatever assembled people, you know, they're all sitting on couches or chairs. Now we've assembled a group of people to comment. And they said, well, you know, country music has just never had anything bad to say about law enforcement. Come on, where y'all been? They've been in New York probably, and that's not exactly a hotbed of outlaw country, I guess. All right, you talk about the outlaw. Is he in trouble with ESPN? Is he running for Senate? Is he going to give hot takes about Auburn and Georgia? It's Paul Feinbaum. My buddy's on the way next.